You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Welcome to Ringside,
the show that brings you all that is pro wrestling news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
Woo! You know what? You know what? You just made the list.
Really?
With Daniel Spencer,
the jabroni beaten, now by Eaton.
Jeremy Wallman,
that I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
And Eric Cornish.
And I think that the spotlight should go on top of me.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
And I'm Eric Cornish.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now, if you got that notification, you got that download subscription, you hit it, you're like, wait a minute, Ringside Podcast, brand new episode on December, the first week of December of 2021. Yes, that is correct. We are back just for a couple more weeks until the end of the year, but we're back.
Well, you know, we're busy guys. And there's been nothing going on in the wrestling business. So,
oh yeah, nothing at all. Nothing whatsoever. I mean, there hasn't been a big feud going on that has probably changed. AEW. There hasn't been recent releases going on in WWE that AEW and Impact has both took advantage of. There hasn't been a lot of things. You know, there hasn't been pay per views. There hasn't been house shows and Raws locally. Yeah, there hasn't been any of that going on. And you know what? OVW just has not been running at all and rocket shipping everybody to the moon and doing some phenomenal business there as well. Yeah, pretty much none of that's been going on.
So we apologize. Sorry.
No, we know for a fact that. You guys know, listen, we're just pulling your chain. There's been a lot going on since August, the last show we did. Now, we did do the Presser's bonus episode. Jeremy was able to sit in on the media presser for Full Gear, right? AEW's Full Gear.
Yeah.
We put the full press up on there. And that has lots and lots of listens, so that's been great. And stuff. So yeah, it's been good going on. As we're recording this, I just want to say this now. I am literally looking at it right below me. We are watching Dynamite is airing as we speak right now. And so if anything, we're talking about current events or whatnot, AEW's Dynamite, if there's something that happens, we might mention it and break into it and go in and talk about it for a second. I know Jeremy usually watches it like a day later, so I apologize, Jeremy.
No, you're good. Because of Eric, I'm able to watch it right now while we're doing the show.
So I want to know if they're booing Punk or not.
Well, they thought it was MJF. It looks like he tricked them, and then Punk came out. So, but anyways.
Sounds like they're booing him. That's pretty crazy.
Oh, they're in New York, right?
They're in Long Island.
Oh, yeah, that's what's going on. Okay. Hold on. Oh, they are booing him because he came out as MJF. They went nuts, and then it was Punk. So that's why they're booing him. So actually, wow, he's got the Canada treatment. The Stone Cold gets the Canada treatment when he's going against Bret Hart and when he goes to Canada. That's pretty amazing.
So now Long Island is the new Canada.
Yeah, Long Island is the new Canada.
MJF's been one of the bright spots for me in AEW. I thought it was – I love the way he talks about his impending contractual negotiations here in a few years.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, earlier in the week, it was actually Friday night, so 5 days ago or so, the WWE channel posted his Tough Enough tryout.
I saw that.
And I was like, pretty interesting.
I will say this, and I know I work for the company, I know I'm going to put him over, and I get
Wait,
that,
you
but,
do?
But no. Impact, the guy who runs Impact's Twitter, Garrett, man, will... He's like on it for stuff like that. So like as soon as like say if Punk or anybody would have said something on AEW based on a TNA reference, immediately.
Yeah,
it's up.
It is.
Within a minute, yeah. It's up. He's that quick, and he has it up there. And so, like, I think the most recent thing was NXT. What's the dude's name? Steiner's son. What's he go by?
Oh, Braun Breaker.
He, the other guy, Tyson, not Tyson, Ciampa, he said, he made a comment about his, you know, his the Steiner math. And so immediately within a minute, this Steiner math promo was, you know, hey guys, here's the original or something like that. I was like, that's just, yeah. That's great. So yes, and so I'm glad that other places like WWE and even possibly AEW and those guys that run their social media kind of jump onto that and do the same thing, because it does make it fun, you know, it does make it funny, really. And get behind it. So,
but now with what's going on, like as we record this with you know, Punk and MJF. I mean, are you all as into it? I mean, yes. I just think the verbal sparring is great, but I mean, when it finally gets to match, the atmosphere is going to be crazy.
I'm going to give my opinion. I'm going to say right now, they do not need to touch until Double or Nothing.
I agree. No more. And they have a couple times, just barely.
Yeah. I'm okay with the little skull, and I'm okay with a pull apart here and then. And I'm okay with you build away from it at whatever the revolution, what is their February pay-per-view is, you build something like that to it a little bit, but do something where it looks like they're going to touch and they don't. I don't know if it's a mixed tag or a tag or something, since Breaker's name has been involved every single time now. I don't know. But you do something and then you immediately you pull from it in Double or Nothing in May. And I guess Vegas, it looks like, according to Tony Khan on the presser, kind of alluded to, that's where they have their match. And at least that would be the way I would book it. It's kind of like your WrestleMania. You start a Survivor Series and you go all the way to a WrestleMania. And that's the kind of concept. You start in November here and you full gear and you're going all the way to your WrestleMania, which is Double or Nothing, right?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be in Chicago a few weeks ago on Thanksgiving weekend when they were just sparring back and forth, and you know, he's throwing the Miz comment at him, and MJF's throwing the meth addict comment, and it was funny to listen to the crowd, because the crowd was definitely pro Punk, but anytime MJF had a good one, it was just okay, that's pretty good. Like everybody was kind of like, I don't want to cheer, but okay.
So that was one of the best segments in a long time.
Yeah,
especially non WWE, and I love the fact that even Cornette put it over as being great business, and because it was great business.
It was really good.
And even Cornette, who shits on a lot of AEW stuff, but if you see something good, just like I do, just like Jeremy does, you do, whoever, if we see something good, whether no matter what company it is, we're going to put it over. And the build up, the fact that one of the things that Jim Cornette says, this is kind of like, you know, we've seen Al Snow talk about this, is kind of like the build up. They were separated. They slowly throughout the promo got closer and closer and closer, and then finally they were in each other's face. It built to that. They didn't start in each other's face. They were at the other ends of the corners, and they slowly built to the front. And that is so important psychology, that you know, if they were right there, because once you get to the point where you're in each other's face and you start talking, there's nowhere to go but to hit each other now. You know,
yeah, and if the energy in that building was insane, and that's first wrestling show I've been to in Chicago since, I don't know, WrestleMania 22. I mean, Chicago is such a great wrestling town. There is no doubt about it. Absolutely. And to just to be a part of that was a lot of fun. And to just hear, I mean, that the crowd for AEW is so much different than it is for a WWE show. It is just, it's just a different environment. And I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, it's a different demographic too, because for the most part, when you look in an AEW crowd, let's go that. When you look in the WWE crowd, it's a lot of moms and dads and their kids and their brothers. But when what they show on TV, when you look at the AEW crowd, it looks like it's a majority of people that have never left their parents' basements. And not always.
I thought that too. But like I saw a lot of kids there. There were a lot of kids there. I was surprised. And there's
well,
and the
well
kids
yeah, because
have,
they're 17 and they live in their mom's basement. No. Like, AEW, yeah.
No, there were kids. I thought your way too, but there's a lot of kids that were walking around with their parents. These kids had the Darby Allin shirts on. They, you know, I mean, they were.
I'm so glad that we
boy
have a product.
Stuff.
I mean, we have a product we can geared towards kids where the S word is said 400 times a show.
That's well, it's funny because my daughter, who is 10 years old, she knows that she'll go, oh yeah, I like both WWE and AEW, but AEW says more bad words. She says that.
but here's the thing, I don't too, know though. Think about it. Think about the attitude era. Think about the age, you know, of most of the people that are watching AEW now, the demographic.
Oh no, I wasn't allowed to watch it. I had to sneak around to watch WWE back in the attitude era.
But I mean, but I'm saying is, you know, you they went from, you know, the PG over to the attitude and the cussing and blah, blah, blah and all that stuff. But, like, you know, we watch it. It's kind of funny, though. I get what you're saying about the kids, you know, whatever. But when you watch the Attitude Era, you didn't think about it like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe there's kids watching it. You were, like, watching it and thinking, this is great. This is the greatest thing ever. Yeah. 'Cause you're, but like, our kids, they kind of think the same thing. When they watch them, they go, oh,
well,
my gosh.
I guess,
like,
I guess the S-bombs now are like Austin dropping ass back in the, you know, which was a big deal at the time.
It really was.
Like, you know, and then everybody else started doing. But if it was me, and going back to MJF, if it was me, I would never let him curse again. Like some of the other people, I don't care. Jericho's going to drop it, whatever. Jericho's Jericho. Like MJF is so good, he doesn't need that extra.
No, he doesn't. I agree with that.
Like I don't think, and he tries to do it sometimes.
And I feel like they overdo it because they can. I feel like they're trying to get it in like 10 times an hour too.
It's like WWE does when they like to drop in that punch with like, I'm going to make you my bitch. And then it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you they know, love apparently- to use that.
Apparently, you can say just about anything on cable TV now, because I watched the end of Raw last night, and I was exhausted. I've been up at the hospital with my pops since 7 a.m. yesterday morning. I came home, and I said yesterday, but Monday night, and I fall asleep on the couch. Like, I fully intended on getting up and go to bed, and I just fell asleep. And then I wake up, like, about 15 minutes later, and Chucky's on. And they're like, hey, Chucky, what are you doing? He's like, what do you think I'm doing, mother?
Yeah.
Well, you it's been that way for a while. It's been that way for a while. It just depends on the time.
Well, apparently, I don't watch dirty word shows, Daniel.
No. I'm just saying, like even 15 years ago, if you watched Comedy Central after 10 or 11 o'clock.
No, I remember that.
They allowed that stuff. Same with even Cartoon Network would do the
Adult Swim,
and it would be like.
Well, here's the thing: it's when it comes to cable, it's all up to the individual network what they want to do, but a lot of them will wait longer because of their sponsors. But I guess, you know, with when it comes to AEW, their sponsors don't.
Well,
care.
They do have an FCC guideline based on time.
In cable.
They don't anymore. They did.
Not cable TV. Oh, okay. It's only on broadcast TV.
Oh, okay. I thought it used to be in cable as well. That's why they waited till later.
FCC, yeah. FCC regulates the over the air. So, cable can kind of do what they want.
Yeah.
We need to get a cable show then.
We can do what we want here. We're not bound by the FCC.
I am.
Ever since Howard Stern went to Sirius Radio, everybody's found a new way to get around the FCC. Now Eric is bound by the FCC every day, but we're recording this at night. So
that's right. When I get up on my country music morning show and I tell my co-host, I'm going to make you. No, I can't do that.
Oh, great. A lot has been going on when it comes to that. But here's the other thing I want to touch base on real quick. We talked about Chicago being a great town. I think the Midwest itself is a great town. And in this past weekend, as we're recording this, shout out to Dave Hero for putting on a phenomenal show called Blizzard Brawl.
I wasn't even there, and I'm going to give a standing ovation because that is just so good, so good. I've seen the pictures. I've seen all the results. That's how you do an independent show.
That's how you do an independent show. And shout out to the Titan Adam Scheer, formerly known as Braun Strowman, and EC3, who raised over $10,000 for the Waukesha families who were who lost their the families who lost people in the parade, Christmas parade. For those people, that it was amazing. And then just Waukesha itself is just a great town. You know, and the fact of what they've gone through. I mean, really, in the last, I mean, they've been kind of the front runner of news for the last year and a half, right? With everything.
Yeah.
And they got hit with something else again. And I mean, of course, our city, Louisville, was hit right before Waukesha was with some terrible news. And our eyes were on our city and our government and what they were going to do with stuff, too. So it's been a, you know, it's been a crazy, crazy couple of years with COVID too, and everything that's happening. But
yeah, so man, you being at that show, let's talk a little bit about what went on there. Talk about some of the people that you rubbed shoulders with, because I'm really interested. I haven't really talked to anybody who was there yet.
I mean, it was just like, again, the atmosphere was great. Everyone was like, it reminds me, and I'm Grant, I have to compare it to something. You know, OVW, yes, is one thing backstage, and the camaraderie and the who you are and get along with certain people. But I still feel like there are certain people you're closer with and there are certain people you're not. But in my experience with Impact is we're all family. We're all like with each, hanging out with each other, love each other. We're all wanting each other to succeed. And I have that was the same atmosphere I had in that locker room back there. Is a Dave Hero presented it as the same way. Like, we're all in this together. We're hanging out. No one was trying to like, well, I got to get my spot in. I care about my match. I don't care about yours. Everyone wanted to like help everybody out, and even there was a lot of people there just there for meet and greets that were coming backstage and seeing everybody. And shout out to Ringside alum Jeff Jarrett, who immediately like, you know, came up to me and started talking to me you know, was asking how things are going and whatnot. And of course, I did the same with him. You can listen to him on My World. I talked about how great his podcast is with Conrad Thompson.
One of my favorites right now.
Yeah, man. It is for sure. And we were just talking about the most recent one that aired at the time, which was joining Russo's WCW. And we were cutting up about some things there. And it's just everybody was just, it's hard to describe. And Earl Ebner, like, you know, I'm real tight with his son. And I mean, Brian has been like a mentor to me this last year, and me and Brian talk almost every day. But then when I shared, Earl already knew who I was, he already knew about me. And he was like, you know, yeah, man, that's, you know, that's great. And I've seen pictures and video and whatnot. And he was just, but then I got the cut up side of Earl. I got the telling jokes, and I got to text Brian like little things he was telling me to tell Brian. Like, I did a picture. If you look out there, there's a picture. This is an inside baseball here for you, as Conrad and Jeff Jarrett say, since we are talking about them. There was a picture of Earl doing one, I'm doing two. He purposely wanted to do it that way, and I had to text it to Brian, and I had to say, he's number one, I'm number two, and your weak ass is number three. That's exactly what I texted him, exactly those words. And Brian comes back with a ha-ha. He goes, and he laughed. And then he said, tell Brian, Brian's a great ref because he stole all my shit. And so I said, okay. So I told him, and then Brian's comment back was, yeah, but I had to take it. I had to make it better. I had to take it, make it better, make it more relevant or something like that. So it was just that great interaction back and forth. And who would ever thought that I would be able to? I mean, like I said, I'm in there. I've been with Brian for the last year. Great, one of the best of all time. But who ever thought that I also would say that I've now worked with the GOAT? And I was involved in the match. Like, we was in the ring together. Like, we were.
Yeah,
involved.
you were a part of a Waukesha screw job.
Yeah, that happened.
So Earl, you talk about Earl getting his stuff in. He really did get his stuff in, didn't he?
He did. Earl thought he was in Montreal again in 1997. Earl was knocked out. Then Dave Harmon, OVW, was representing OVW, came out there and did some, he got knocked out. And I was like, I got to go out there and I've got to help finish this match. And I do, I go out there and Cal Hero, I counted the 1, 2, 3. He was the new national heavyweight champion, OVW national heavyweight champion. But Earl got up and said, nope, I was the actual official for this match, so get the hell out of my ring, and we're going to restart this match. So I did, and listen to Earl. He's Earl, so I got to listen. I left the ring. They restarted the match, and what do you know? Jesse hit him over the head with the belt, and disqualification. Cal still won, but Jesse's still the title champion. And then Earl takes his referee shirt off, his TNA Hall of Fame Impact Wrestling referee shirt, takes it off, and has a Jesse Goddard shirt on underneath. What are the odds? What are the
feeling Jeremy had something to do with that.
But Earl came out in Bret Hart's music. He came out to Bret Hart's music. So we should have known that something was up. We should have known. It was foreshadowing.
Sorry, funny you bring him up. I'm currently talking with the how did he tell me to introduce him? The greatest national heavyweight champion of all time. And he said to tell you all, he said to tell Eric hello and to tell Daniel. I don't know, the emoji's like the sticking the tongue out. I'm not fluent in emoji. I don't do that. I'm a grown man. I don't emoji. I know that's not a popular opinion, but I don't do that. But he said, I guess he's saying to you, Daniel. Yeah.
See, Goddard likes to kiss up to me because he knows I'm the one that's got to bring him out. And when I do, he wants more and more added to his entrance every day. And
he deserves it.
To me, I keep it simple. Like, he must have, I don't know what he's paid AJ McKay, because AJ McKay's entrance for him is like, you know, 10 minutes long. So I don't know.
Well,
National heavyweight. Oh, I'm sorry. The greatest Ohio Valley wrestling national heavyweight champion of all time.
He's the only one.
It doesn't make it any less true.
Well, he did just tweet out a picture, pictures from the show where it shows Earl Hebner hugging him at the end with a shirt on. So literally just tweeted that out 15 minutes ago. So, So, I mean, hey, look, whatever, it is what it is. I feel sorry for Cal, that happened in the match, but, you know, I feel like, one day there'll be revenge, coming. And Jeff Jarrett came out and at the end of the match and thanked Cal, thanked Waukesha, said what a great, person he is. He reminds him of himself because he was a son of promoter. And yet he had to go out there, and he had one of his first matches in his hometown for a title match, and basically, you know, barely lost it, which pretty much happened with Cal. So he goes, so just let you know, just makes you want to lace my boots up again. And he said, you know, Bruiser Brawl does happen every year, doesn't it? And then that was it. So interesting.
I know. I saw the video of that. That gave me chills a little bit. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, so, you know, oh, he did say, screw you, Earl Hebner, so, or something like that, or hell with you, Earl Hebner. So,
Great Lakes Championship Wrestling, Dave Hero, big props to him. Big props, of course, to the former Braun Strowman, Adam Scheer, because this was like his only independent show he's done ever.
Ever. Right? He went straight
to WWE. And it might be the only one he ever does if he gets signed here pretty soon.
Possibly, but there's been talks where he doesn't want to go anywhere. There's been talks where he's happy doing what he's doing. He's kind of, I think there's been talks where he obviously has a ring and stuff, and there's talks of him just training. But let me tell you what,
I still,
man,
think he goes back. I think he goes back to WWE. That's my prediction.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'll save that for next show.
Royal Rumble, maybe?
I mean, you never know. Never know.
I'll be there too, by the way.
I will too.
Awesome.
Oh, maybe a ringside remote episode?
You could do that. I'll be in Tallahassee. Maybe. So
at least get together for...
You'll be in Tallahassee. Why are you meeting with their new athletic director?
Not Tallahassee. I'm sorry. Fort Lauderdale. Oh, I had Tallahassee. I'll be in Fort Lauderdale. Or no, wait a minute. I was at the week... I don't know. Maybe it's the week after.
It's been exactly 3 months since we've had to hear Daniel pat himself on the back. So that's been quite refreshing.
Oh, wow. Well, where am I going to be reffing major wrestling at that week?
I'm going to get him a brace for Christmas so he can, you know, from the carpal tunnel, from patting himself on the back.
Oh, goodness gracious. Anyway, so.
You know, I'm just messing with you, buddy.
So, but we have a lot. There's a lot going on in the OVW world too, as well. We're leading up to Christmas Chaos, which is about where we're filming this, just 1 week away, or we're recording this 1 week away. It's Christmas Chaos, and that's going to take us into the end of the year, leading up to the Nightmare Rumble on January 15th. Mm. So we got a lot of cool stuff going on. Right now,
when is Christmas Chaos? What day is it on? Is it another one of those Tuesday shows, or is it going to be on the Thursday?
It's a Thursday,
December the 16th.
And there's a reason why. We'll get to that next.
Yep.
Okay.
But, There's there's a reason, but it's live 2 hour show, 2 hour TV, Christmas Chaos special. So just come check that out.
Every title on the line, every match has its own stipulation. Yes, so it should be cool. Think about where we were a year ago for Christmas Chaos. We had no fans. And we had Tony Gunn.
No, we had fans. No,
not for Christmas Chaos. We didn't.
We had two. Remember, we taped two shows with the cage without fans, and then we was able to have fans there. But I don't know if we were limited on the number though.
Remember? No, we had zero fans at Christmas Chaos last year.
Mm. My family was there, so I know we had fans.
Uh-oh, the battle of the OVW, guys. I'm here for it. Let's go, Daniel. Eric sucks.
I just remember we filmed the War Games match and the OVW heavyweight title match before
early in the day.
So we can air it.
And then we went straight into our Christmas party right after the show was done while the other two matches aired.
We took the cage down. And then did we have a match? No, we took the cage down. We did all the rest of the show.
We did all the rest of the show live and then aired the two cage matches and we were done and we went straight into Christmas party and while the two matches played.
Yeah.
While they aired live.
Maybe it was just friends and family were your crowd. Maybe. But we had my family was there. I remember because I couldn't stay very long at the Christmas party because I had kids there. So
but either way, it was still a much different world 1 year ago.
Oh, yeah, it was much different
absolutely.
World.
Absolutely.
And Brian Pillman Jr. won the OVW championship
against Tony
right before he got signed, yeah. I got a chance to talk to Brian briefly in Chicago. I saw him at the hotel bar afterwards, and so it just what a difference a year makes, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That also had Jesse Goddard versus Ace Austin for the OVW National Heavyweight title, and I believe the Rush title had – Bro Heat was involved in that one too, as well.
Yeah, I think that was a big six or eight.
Scramble.
Yeah.
Bro Heat and somebody else was involved in it. It was like two Impact people. But yeah, so that was great. And then we go into the we led right into the Rumble, and that's what started. Omar, I mean, it's just amazing. Does the Rumble the first show we had fans back? Like a fan.
It was pretty close, yeah. Pretty close to it.
Wow, that's been crazy. Yeah, so much a year makes. Now the reason why we're having Christmas Chaos on December the 16th because on December the 18th, Impact Wrestling's Throwback Throwdown 2 comes in, where the IPWF is going to make another debut, and that is a very interesting retro looking show. Will be live at the Davis Arena, so that's the reason why Christmas Chaos got moved to the Thursday instead of being on that Saturday.
Yeah, and it's it's nearly sold out, from what I understand. Very few tickets left for that Impact taping our live event that will emanate from the 80s, I guess, kind of, right?
Yeah, it's 1984 all over again.
So not saying that you will see, Daniel Spencer, but you'll see somebody that looks like Daniel Spencer.
My ancestor, my uncle or cousin or something that, or maybe even a father.
Marty McSpencer.
Marty McSpencer.
Spoony Spencer.
Yeah.
Grew up a Spoony.
There may be, and you may even get a sighting of somebody else that you know.
Yeah.
Very possible.
It's very possible. Very, very possible.
Jeremy's shaking his head. He goes, I can't deal with two of you guys.
Not two. No, no. But I do have, tickets at the door, both of those, right? Already? Comp tickets, I'm sure.
Hey, go ahead and tweet Josh Matthews and see.
He won't see it.
Yeah. Never heard anything about needing tickets to that. But I mean, I because those have to go in a lot sooner than a week before. But
I'm going to tweet Josh Matthews and Shawn Michaels together and see which one of them gets back to me first.
Speaking of Josh Matthews, who ever thought I'd be on the cover of a seminar with him and D'Lo Brown? Look at that. So yeah,
very nice.
Check that out. So hey, they approached me so for it. I guess Brian wasn't available.
Unbelievable.
Oh, what was that?
Unbelievable.
Sean. Give it up to my future brother-in-law. All right, so
we hit that button multiple times an episode, so that's yeah. Like just put it on the clip.
So now we've talked about AEW a little bit. We've talked about OVW, and we've teased Impact. We haven't went full detail. We can go a little more into Impact a little bit later. But what about the mothership, or if that's even the mothership anymore, the WWE? What's been going on there, guys? What's other than they've released a lot of good talent and people and either AEW and Impact are both gonna benefit from it, but maybe even OVW will. But what about
if it is the mothership, the head alien driving it these days is Nick Khan, it appears.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No relation, by the way.
Oh, no relation. Well, they spell it differently. I think one's at H-A, one's at A-H, or something like that. So what... Punk's in the ring. He's making what's-his-name go to sleep.
Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks, yeah.
All right. Yeah, but no, still no contact with him and MJF.
No, MJF ran away. That's good. So what about the WWE? What do y'all think about what's going on there with the current I guess the last couple months of storylines from, by the way, Becky's still the man, so
she is. And why I still don't know why she's a heel, but she definitely made herself more of a heel this week and beating Liv Morgan in nefarious ways. And I kind of like what they're doing with Liv Morgan, but Liv did show on the mic that she's still got a long way to go to live up to the man, though. But I do like Liv Morgan as the rising kind of underdog babyface.
Yeah,
I like a lot of things both on and off screen. Like the thing that you sent us earlier, the Next in Line initiative, where they're signing NIL deals with athletes all over the country. I get what they're doing. Like if these are people that may or may not be. Because they have a lot of athletes, NCAA athletes, that try out at the WWE tryouts. Why not get in with them early? You know, give them a little something that's legal. And I like that. I do not like things I don't like. I don't like Nick Khan being in charge of everything. But to me, I feel like, and something came out earlier today saying that when Vince hangs it up, it's going to be Nick Khan, that not Hunter, that drives the ship. And I think that's very, very telling. What that tells them, that almost confirms to me that Vince will not be owning this when he retires. That'll be the end of it being McMahon owned. I think I still believe fully that he's priming for a sale to Disney or another company big like that. But enough of the off the screen stuff, the on screen stuff. But I love that they're giving Austin Theory a shot, even though he'd gotten to some trouble in NXT or before NXT. I like the fact that they've kind of taken this character and ran, and then pairing him up with Vince, that's been comic gold. I like that. And I like the way that they didn't just like take Big E. Like they have a tendency to let somebody cash in on money, cash the money in the bank in, and then in their title reign a month later, 6 days later, whatever, same next night. So I like that I don't think Big E's done a horrible job at all of being the WWE champion. And by putting him into feuds with Seth and KO, like kind of solidifying him as the main event. So, and then now Bobby Lashley's entering the mix. So I think Raw for the longest time was so bad that you never expected it to be decent at all. So when they do string a couple weeks episodes together, where there's interesting storylines like Doudrop and Bel Air, Liv Morgan and Becky, and then you've got Austin Theory, you've got Big E and them, you've got, is KO going to leave? Is he going to stay? I mean, that's not played out on TV yet, but you got to, your average wrestling fan's like, oh, he's getting some main event run now. So was that how they got him to agree to stay longer? Or like especially since it has been a long time, it feels like it anyway, maybe pre-pandemic, since a guy has had his contract up for extension in WWE and they've actually taken it. I mean, Bryan Daniel, Adam Cole, Now Gargano may or may not be gone. They kind of teased that last night he was going on paternity leave, but you don't know if he is or not. Kyle O'Reilly. Now, Pete Dunne did re-sign. He re-signed. But other than that, I can't really think of a situation like that. So that's been kind of, NXT 2.0 has – I had zero expectations for that. And it has been quite entertaining, from the vignettes to the old school interview feel to the matches. Now it looks like they're trying to weed the older guys out one by one. They had an amazing War Games once again. Didn't like the result of it. I get it, especially if you're going to try to, you know, send some of those guys on their way. But for the first time in a long time, I don't really have anything negative to say about Raw. I don't have anything negative to say about NXT and SmackDown. It's always been good. It's not always been great, but it's always been good. And of course, your tribal chief is single-handedly, running with. I mean, he's got his support on that show, but I mean, he's the one that's you can't wait to see what's going to happen between him and Brock. So
I will tell you now that to me, Roman Reigns is the champion in wrestling right now is the most secure, that is doing the best job, that belongs in the title picture. I'm not saying that none of the other ones do. I'm just saying he feels comfortable in that role. He looks comfortable in that role. He looks like he belongs, and he just keeps on doing it.
Yeah, I was going to say, for another company, I think Moose for sure is looks that role as a champion as well, so, and fits that mold.
I think still being new at that. I mean, yeah, he definitely looks the part, and it'll be a matter of time to see if he's gonna, stay champion for a while. Big E, I don't know. Like I love what they're doing, Big E. I was always, and while I always liked Big E as a part of New Day, I always wondered, could he carry this on his own? And so far he's done a very, very good job. Yeah. I worry about this match now. If they're going to make it a four-way or whatever they're going to do here at day one, I worry about him keeping the title out of that, because he either comes out looking like gold by beating all three of these guys, or I think Rollins may come out. But Bobby Lashley could too if they put him in that match. So I don't see KO coming out with it, but I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens there. But then as far as just going back to AEW a little bit, Hangman Page, is it just me? I mean, everybody else is really on board with him being champion right now, and I feel like we're like 6 months to a year too late for him. And it's, to me, everything else is more attractive than Hangman Page right now. But that's just me.
I don't know. I don't think it is just you. There's a lot of weird stuff. So like, I don't think the quality of wrestling on AEW has went down at all. But I think the newness of it is starting to fade a little bit. You kind of see that in the numbers. Everybody was, and even Daniel, I don't know if he was joking or not. He's like, CM Punk and Brian Daniel are going to move the needle. And it did, but it moved it the opposite way. They had a very interim spike, and then it's been right around 1 million ever since. And you should, with the quality of wrestling, I will give them this. I will give them their flowers, as the younguns say these days. With the quality of wrestling and the types of promos and the star power, they should be doing 2 million views in their sleep without even trying.
I still think they'll get there.
They've done better, but they did have like a 50-year head start.
I do think the TBS move actually is going to help them.
Can you explain that? Because I've heard a lot of people say that they actually have less – they're in less TV. They're in less households.
No, they're in more. TBS is
no, they're not. They're not. Daniel, I've already done the research on this a long time ago. Okay. TBS is in 89.4 million homes. TNT is in 89.8 million homes. It's very minuscule. It's like a half a million.
But what I'm getting at is TBS is more watched than TNT from a channel standpoint. I know they're the same company. I mean,
that could be true.
But they are, because TNT.
And it's got the heritage. I get that, but
yeah.
I don't know that anybody remembers it for being the wrestling station, because it was. I mean, let's face it. For years, TBS was the wrestling station, the Brave station, and the Andy Griffith station, and there was nothing else on there. So, I mean, it's been 20 years since it's been that. or more. But I agree. I think TBS is probably, while TNT may be in more homes, I think TBS may have a little boost for it. But what the real problem is them scaling their roster back. I still think they need to do that. And I still think they need to gear their storylines toward less of the smart fans and more of the general population. And I think they're getting better at that.
Well, I think they're, I think what they're doing is, I do not know this to be a fact, so I hate to even say this because people think, because I know people there and whatnot, that this is going on. But I think what they're doing is a lot of people that they're not using on the two shows, you see them more on their Darks and Evelation, or is that the name of the one? Whatever.
Dark and Elevation.
Elevation.
But, yeah, whatever. Those two shows.
But there's still plenty of people that don't watch those shows.
I know, but I'm just saying, those guys are on there. They're under contract, so they're being used and paid on there. When their contracts come up, I don't see those guys getting renewed. I don't think they're going to release anybody. I don't think
yeah.
It's going to be a release, and I think it's just not a renewal type of deal.
Yeah.
We got a lot of contracts coming up for AEW within the next couple months, because when they signed their deals were based around that time frame. So you got Jericho, you got the Young Bucks, you got Cody, you've got I think Omega extended his contract a while back. But you got a lot of guys that were signed. Moxley, all these guys that signed right at that time frame are coming to an end. Now, granted,
all those people are staying though. None of those people you just
I know, but I'm just giving you, those are the ones we know about. There's tons of others that we don't really pay attention or forget about who signed contracts to.
It's the Joey Janela's of the world that you got to worry about. It's the other, you know, it's all these people that they signed at the very beginning when they were just stockpiling guys. And then, you know, people still say, oh, you got to sign Braun Strowman, you got to sign Bray Wyatt, you got to sign, you know, all these people to get released. And it's just, they just can't do it. I mean, they're going to find out from a business standpoint, it's not viable, and it hurts their TV product too, because if you can't use a guy like, say, Christian Cage on every TV, then why do you have him? You know what I mean?
Well, they're going to have to go to the point. We're going to have to go to the WWE scale. They're going to have two separate shows with two separate rosters. Is what they're going to have to do. And granted, I'm glad they don't right now, but they're going to have to.
They cannot rely on their dark shows to further storylines, for sure. Maybe to keep the guys active and in matches. But I mean, I'll tell you this: it was borderline tiring once I got to the end of that taping, because they did not only Dynamite but also taped Rampage that night. But before that, they did about 10 matches for Dark, and that became a four and a half hour show on a Wednesday night. That got a little tiring, and I will tell you that. So but anyway, I think they're doing better. The storylines are getting more focused, and if they can focus more on the casual fan getting them back in, then they're doing well, and they'll get to that 2 million. But anyway, sorry to kind of go back there, but back to Paige. I think it's late on Paige because all the buzz now is about guys like Punk and Bryan Danielson, and it's and there's other guys. Darby Allin is getting all this buzz, and it feels like Paige is kind of on the back burner, but a lot of people are excited about his run. So we'll see what happens. Well,
I will say this. The best things going on in AEW right now are the Punk and MJF, are Bryan Danielson, what he's doing. I even like the Darby Allin stuff, what he's doing. Those are the best storylines going right now. I think the Young Bucks and Adam Page, all those, that story, that's going to do their thing. They're going to still do their thing regardless. But I do think those are really intriguing. But as far as
I'd love to see Brian beat Paige, and then just, maybe that'll even further Paige's status in the future as the underdog, and he lost again,
Yeah, possibly. Question though, back to the WWE, question for both of you, who is the one though? So who's going to do it? Who is going to be the one, and you don't have to say when, just who's going to be the person to actually defeat Roman Reigns and take that title from him?
Well, I won't say who just yet, but I will say when, and that when is not in 2022. I'll say that right now.
So you're saying that he doesn't even have a lose and get it back kind of story. He keeps it all the way until 2023?
If it's me, he doesn't even lose in 2022.
Okay. All right.
I don't know who it'll be, and I hope it's not. I hope if the Rock comes back and that's an eventual, what's going to happen.
Well, if the Rock comes back, in my opinion, the Rock needs to beat him at Royal Rumble, and then he get it back at WrestleMania.
I think The Rock does not beat him. I think it's one match only. The Rock does not beat him. Who knows who else could come back, but I hope it's not somebody coming back. You know, that person, they might not have built yet. He might not be ready. Could it be Walter? I don't know. Could be, but I doubt it.
Could it be Solo Sikoa? That's Jimmy and Jay's younger brother. Could it be where they're trying to groom him to come up? And he's been very impressive on NXT. But I agree with you. The Rock. Only thing I would say is I think it is going to be a two match situation. I think Roman. No, I could see like Daniel saying it like a little, because you got to have Roman beat him the first time they fight, and then I don't know. I don't think you could let The Rock just job out like that.
Tell you who it could have been, Keith Lee, but that.
Yeah.
The ship has sailed.
So, don't you mean Bearcat Keith Lee?
Either one. Probably just Keith Lee. But so I don't know. Who do you think that guy is? Because I don't know who it is. And I'm not sure that they know who it is. But
well, I asked you all that question. I'm not answering.
That's the problem. See, that's the problem. There is no buy-in. And anybody that has had the potential of like, hey, we're going to build it, they're not there. You know? It's like, so... I don't know.
Okay, is there anybody in the roster that you're saying not in 2022? Okay, well then you got a year now to build somebody. So who do you build? Who do you if you get the book? You get the book, Eric. Who do you put in that right now? You get to build that person for a year to take on Roman Reigns at WrestleMania in LA and take this title from him. Who is that person?
And you're going with the roster that we have right now.
Roster we have right now. Granted, you can't. Yeah, because we can't bring anybody over. Now you could bring somebody from NXT, but you can't bring anybody over from another company because you don't know contract. I mean, those contracts are probably going to be renewed at AEW. So,
sure.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. That's tough because I look at the roster right now and I go, and I'm not. As Jeremy knows, I know Jeremy's not a big AEW guy, but I was kind of on his bandwagon for a long time. But I sat there in that crowd a couple of weeks ago, and I looked at a 4-on-4 match, and I looked at who was standing in that ring. And you had FTR, and you had Neville, or the former Neville, as Pac. And you had Malakai Black, and you had Andrade, and you had all and Cody all standing in the ring. And you go, that was the future right there. That was your future, and it's gone. And Keith Lee's gone, and Karrion Kross is gone. So who is there to step up? I really don't know. And that's where I think AEW's got the advantage over WWE right now, because who is going to move up? I don't know. I mean, you look at the roster right now, maybe a Keith Lee, maybe a babyface, Seth Rollins. I don't know.
As far as even like talent, I guess I'm just realizing this because I haven't watched as much as I'd like to with everything that's been going on. But you really only have Brock, Sheamus, or Drew that you could even have a hope of time. My pick would be Rick Boogs. No, I'm just kidding. He's got no chance in heck.
I mean, I'd love for it to be. Cesaro, but they're all getting past that age where WWE doesn't want them anymore. So you know who's probably going to be? It'd be Austin Theory.
It'll be Bron Breakker, and I'll be honest with you, I've actually kind of, I wish they'd have named him something different.
Apparently, that was his choice, though.
Was it?
That's what I'm hearing. It was his choice, but I guess that was probably his choice after they decided he couldn't use Steiner.
Yeah, it was his choice to do that. Steiner. They gave him here's your like the guys who the former MSK, they said, all right guys, you got to change your name, pick names, and they came with names, and then they either accepted them or if they didn't like them, then they said, okay, we'll choose from a list of these names, and they had to choose.
Well, Bronson's his real first name, so Bron, that's really his first name.
Yeah.
So Breaker, however that, you know. I guess that's fine, but you know, if I would have let him use Steiner, if you're going to leave all the mannerisms and the gear and everything else, you might as well be a Steiner, but that's just me.
And all the references too. I thought at first they didn't want his lineage to be referenced, but then gosh, I forgot what was it, Halloween Havoc? The Chucky was making jokes about his family, and I'm like, because they hadn't at that point like even hinted to who he was, but from that point forward, it was like full steam ahead. They mentioned it subtly or not every chance.
His first match, they called him Dogfaced.
Yeah. Do you know on WWE's website as their superstars, they have one superstar named Vacant.
Vacant.
That's probably the one that's going to do it.
Vacant has won a lot of titles. So,
no, I don't know. It's funny that you pose that question because you think it's like, who's there? Who's there that's on that level or could be on that level? And
but remember, I feel like you can everybody build them that up. They had, they might not be there now, but you can build them
I
up.
I know, but I feel like everybody that they had that they could have got to that level is not going to get there. It's not going to be Riddle. I mean, they took him down the comedy path. He's not coming back.
Thank God. So
he's never going to get there.
He's the new Roman Reigns for me. You know, I don't even hate Reigns or Cena anymore. It's all for Riddle, the Shaman, as they revealed him on NXT. He's MSK Shaman. So, I can't stand him.
What about, the way things are going could be Omos. because it looks like they're polishing him up maybe for a turn at some point. I don't know.
Raw has a lot of stars. That, I mean, you got Orton, you've got AJ, you've got Omos, there's just so many people that Seth, KO, Lashley. The list goes on and on. I don't know what.
None of them are kids though. None of them are. They're all getting longer in the tooth. I mean, Seth's probably the youngest out of all of them there.
Yeah, and I think I was wondering, like, why did they load Raw with so much talent? But I think that helps their narrative of keeping Roman on top on SmackDown because there's literally nobody there.
Well, don't forget, there's a 3-hour show, too, so they need extra talent to fill in the extra hour.
Tell you who, Brock's the only one.
Who would I like it to be, but it's never going to be? Chad Gable.
Okay. Where's Samoa Joe been? Joe coming back?
Samoa Joe would be awesome. He's injured again.
What's that?
Well, he's injured again, right?
Injured. We don't know. We don't know what the injury ever was. He just all of a sudden he was injured and gave up the title right before the relaunch of NXT. A little suspect to me. But again, no spring chicken is Samoa Joe.
No.
So, I don't know. That's a great question, and I'd love somebody to comment and tell us who they think it could be because I'm at a loss at this point.
I don't know. And I guess if there's anybody from another company that was going to come in, that could be the person to do it. But who would that be? You know, like who would be the person from the other company and what company? Like, would it be, would you pull up would it be a Cardona or, would he go back and then, take on Zach Ryder again? And would it be would it be somebody from AEW like a Brian Cage?
I wanted to pose that question. Who's going to be the first one to jump over? And don't say Pineapple Pete because that already kind of happened and you went back. But who do y'all think is going to be the first one that ultimately jumps
from AEW
to WWE?
Brian Cage, I think, is a good choice, honestly. I'm trying to think some of the other ones that I would love to see. I'd love to see, somebody like Sammy Guevara, do it. But he might be a little too small for WWE's current push.
Brian Cage isn't that tall, is he? He's only like about 6 feet, maybe.
Brian Cage? No, he's tall.
Is he?
Six,
I didn't think he was
like
tall.
6'6".
But he's jacked.
No, he's not.
No, Brian Cage is not. There's no way he's 6'6".
No, he's like 6'3". He's like 6'2 or 6'3".
You're going to make me look.
I just saw him in Vegas. Yes, he's about 6'2".
Yeah, but everybody's tall to you. Sorry. It's our first show back. Getting a little
I know I'm 5'11". So if I'm looking up a few inches to somebody, then I know that they're
6 feet.
He's tall.
He is 6 feet tall.
He puts lifts in his shoes then, 6'3".
No. But if I were to pick somebody from a different – I'm going to go with your OVW National Heavyweight Champion, Jesse Godders, which, by the way, just texted me and said, tell Eric I always liked him more than Daniel. I can't wait to listen to your show and tell Daniel that I am his OVW National Heavyweight Champion, and you better show respect. You're welcome.
I mean, that's true. He is the OVW National Heavyweight Champion. There's no one
else. And he'll be the first to let you know.
Yeah,
but watch out, because
technically, I didn't even text him, and he told
got
me
lucky. He got lucky that he was involved in an area where I wasn't the senior official, because I would have let the finish happen the way it was. He decided, it just so happened, Earl Hebner was able to override that my decision when I counted 1, 2, 3, where Cal Hero pinned him. So he's still OVW champion, but it was very close. He almost lost it.
At least until Christmas Chaos. We'll see what happens when Jake Oman gets in the ring with them, and whatever the stipulation might be when those two face off on the 16th of this month.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. So,
well, we've got end of the year stuff coming up for the next episode, huh?
Yes,
I feel like we just did that. Do we need to? I think we need to go back.
Well,
and
no,
listen.
No. The end of the year is going to be you mean we just go back and listen to like 2 weeks ago show this year?
I feel like we need to go back and tell the fans to go listen. Although I may not want to say that, because probably all our predictions were so far off.
I'm going to go. I'll go.
Y'all's predictions were probably so wrong. You're right.
I'll go over those in the show, and I'll talk about some of the ones that, like, what our last year's was compared to, you know, that kind of stuff. Like not, I don't do it on every of them, but I do on some of them. So, for example, we're gonna all pick our wrestler of the year, our female wrestler of the year, and now they could be both. Female wrestler could also be your wrestler of the year. You're gonna go with match of the year, best tag team, best pay per view, most underrated, most overrated. You want to see less of in 2022. It doesn't have to be a person. It could be of something. More of in 2022. Best angle storyline. Worst angle storyline. Best OVW wrestler in 2021. Best female OVW wrestler in 2021. Of course, that could also be the same person. Could be both. Your breakout star of 2021. Bold predictions. And that's, you know, we'll see what we have to say. And then the one we added, I think, a couple years ago is who would you like to see in a WWE/AEW/Impact/OVW in the year 2022? Now, last year we added OVW in that list because we feel like OVW is listed in one of those top. So people from, I guess, if you're in the indies and you're not on TV anywhere, or you're in maybe MLW or ROH that do you want to see those guys in one of those four organizations? Because that's kind of
who knows. But after the end of the year, who knows what's going to happen with ROH? Right, the way things are going. So,
so there you go. So that's what we're going to discuss. That's going to be our topic. But it'll probably be a long show, a little longer than this one, definitely for sure. And then in the meantime, I'll break down what we all predicted or what we thought, and then kind of look back, especially rest of the year and stuff like that. Because it's interesting to see what we thought based on the whole year of 2020, and then how we pick someone in 2021. And could it be the same? Could it be someone different? Or where that person would rank? You know, I think if you know, in your mindset, if you can go back and listen yourself and kind of know, I pick so and so. They're not my rest of the year in 2021. However, they're ranked number two now or three now. They're close to it, but so-and-so I beat them. Whatever, you know, whatever commentary you want to put on it. But there you go.
I'm just mad I can't pick Undisputed Era for my favorite tag team for the third year in a row. Or is this the last year I can?
Give it okay. A couple weeks.
All right.
Depending on how the contract situation goes.
Well, spoiler. I already knew, like I thought about today. I was watching something. I was like, they are for sure my most underrated. And no one will pick them. No one would not think I'd go with them at all. And I'm like, they're so underrated and don't realize how freaking good this person is. So I can't wait to talk about
that. Thank you, Daniel.
I can't wait to talk about that person.
Thank you.
Announcers are allowed. Okay, good.
AJ McKay. Who, by the way, shout out. He did a good job at Blizzard Brawl, believe it or not. He did a good job.
No, I do believe it.
He only messed up once. I'm just playing. He, man, he felt bad. He thought he did, but the person was like, "No, you're fine. You did great." I was like, "All right." It was funny. He was like, "Oh my gosh, I don't want no heat." I was like, "You're fine. You didn't mess up."
Dude's got more broadcasting and like announcing experience than all of us, but in wrestling wise, it's funny because he's still pretty new to the game, and yeah. We, you know, we'll sit at ringside and he'll ask me little things like, "Now wait, what about this?" You know, so he's like, "Okay, you slapped me on the wrist again." I'm like, "No, it's okay. Well, you're learning. It's all good. It's all good." So now he's doing great. He's I love AJ's is my partner in crime, and we have fun.
Yeah. You're along with what is it? Right side, right along ringside, right along
right ringside. Along ring. Yeah. Hashtag right along ringside. And you can get the shirt with the two of us on there. Plus a lot of other shirts out there. ProWrestlingTees.com/AJ and Eric. You get the, one fall shirt, which is now available. Also the phrase that Brian Kennison has made famous, which is, Eric, my man, tell him who's fighting. That one's also out there too, and the Voice of the Valley shirt, all available.
I can't believe you do that to Brian Kennison. Like, you make him have a bigger head than he already does. Did you see like all the people he gave away? I'm just gonna put him out there. I don't care. I'm gonna snitch on him. He gave away his shirts to all the super fans that come to OVW. They actually showed up and drove up to Waukesha for the show, and he took a picture and he was like, "Oh, look at these guys wearing my shirt," and all of them said, "We gave him for free," and we said, "Can you wear him to Buzz Brawl?" He said, "They all said yes because he gave us free shirts." I'm like, "What a work! What a work!"
Yeah.
Only reason why they wore them is because he gave them free and he asked them to. If I give you a free shirt, would you wear it? Of course. Hello.
That you don't get free shirts in this world. I'm sorry.
That's marketing 101. I mean, how do you think Al started with Collar and Elbow? He gave away shirts to all the talent at first. Now everybody was wearing them, and then we all bought them, right?
Now Kennison did get one of those shirts, one of those Eric tell him who's fighting shirts, because, you know, it's his catchphrase. So,
well, speaking of Collar and Elbow, when you go to collarandelbowbrand.com, use promo code Ringside, all capital letters, you save 10%, and you help the Ringside podcast out. The perfect gift right now for Christmas is Collar and Elbow, and use promo code Ringside. Save money and, you know, make someone's Christmas special.
Absolutely. Sorry, I had to watch the Young Bucks going up against
all the hot pink
Rocky Romero.
A lot of hot pink.
A lot of hot pink going on there. My buddy Chuck Taylor wearing the singlet top.
Yeah, look at that.
No Chuck right. for a long time. Good dude. Yeah. Anyway.
I can't wait to watch it after we get done here. That's Duke of
Kentucky's own Chuck Taylor. All right. Well, awesome. It was good to you know, podcast again, guys.
I'd forgotten what y'all look like, honestly.
We should do this more often.
We're on TV every week. What are you talking about?
Y'all are on TV?
Yeah. OVW, and I'm on Impact OVW. He's on OVW.
We know. Hey, I still come. I've been coming every other week to the shows, and I plan on continuing that tradition throughout 2022. I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable coming out and stuff to the shows.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm excited. It's been good.
Two more shows to come to, or one once this is uploaded, probably. So
yeah.
There you go. So, Christmas Chaos.
Yeah, Christmas Chaos, December 16th. Don't forget Impact's Throwback Throwdown, December 18th in Louisville. Both of those shows in Louisville. Then Impact is going to be in Dallas, Texas for Hard to Kill. Tickets are still available there. Ooh. January 8th and then 9th the next day for TV. And then OVW's Nightmare Rumble, January 15th, going to be at the Davis Arena. I don't know the arena yet, but on January 21st and 22nd, I think that's the Friday or Saturday, Sunday. I might be off on those dates, maybe 20th and 21st, but whatever that
week. You're right.
Yeah. Those dates
will be
Impact Wrestling TV tapings will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I know the February, March, and April dates, but I'm not allowed to say them just yet, where they are and where they're at. But I will tell you this. I will say this. The beginning of March, it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be pretty cool.
I hate when he does. Like
I have a feeling. The whole entire Ringside podcast can be there too. Just saying.
Oh, nice.
Just saying.
That's exciting.
Just saying.
Well, at least two of us are going to be at the Royal Rumble, which is January the 29th. That's a Saturday this year, and that's going to be in St. Louis in the Dome. So, yeah, we might have a little Might have to have a little remote podcast, you and I.
I'm okay. I'm okay with y'all doing that. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll have Steve, our buddy Steve will be there too, so we can have, you know, Steve can, he might be able to fill Daniel's shoes, you know. Steve does a little radio himself, so he might be okay to take over for, well, no, he wouldn't take over for Daniel. He would be the new JK. Me and you would be taking over for Daniel, so it should be a good time, though.
I'm totally okay with Mr. Steve Rummage running the show or doing the show or whatever. I'm okay with y'all doing a little get together, a little talk about before or after Rumble, however you want to do it. I'm okay with that. Just send me we transfer me the file and I'll upload it and boom, there you go.
I have equipment.
You do have equipment.
so we'll be good.
Hey, but now we have a blessing though, Jeremy.
Oh yeah. Thank you, Mr. Daniel, for allowing us to do that. We appreciate you, sir.
Hey, there's been many times that I've been able to probably possibly record right there on my phone, just like a 10-minute little thing, and I'm like, I don't know if I should do it. And I got Eric was like, you should go ahead and do it, but yeah, I haven't really said anytime. That to Jeremy yet. So
anytime,
no, absolutely,
okay. All right, I just don't want to hurt.
If
any
you
feelings.
Have an opportunity, we're all grown men in this room. You ain't gonna hurt nobody's feelings.
All right, I'm just saying that I don't want to be mad because I decided to do an interview with, you know, Moose right there or something. So.
Probably don't do that.
You have more access than anybody, so do it.
Right.
All right. All right, cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening, as always, in the meantime, between time. Wait a minute. What am I thinking?
I was about to say, what are you doing, dude?
You can listen to us on the Podcast Avenues, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. It's been a few months. TuneIn Radio app, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Just go to ringsidepodcast.com. Stitcher, too. I don't know if I mentioned that. Everywhere. And you can get us all on the social media, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Ringside Podcast. And individually on Twitter, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
I'm at Jeremy_CSZ.
And I'm at Eric on the Air.
Oh, I'm also, that's the same as well on Instagram, I think. Same for all of you all, too. So hey, Twitter,
you know,
and Facebook Instagram.
Do you know you can do that? Facebook's got a podcast section now, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just started last month.
Well, you might
I loaded mine on there.
The Meta?
Yeah.
The Meta. It's not the Facebook no more, right?
Didn't they change? No. Well, I don't
Facebook
know.
Facebook is still Facebook, but Meta's the...
I signed up.
I know. I just... It's been... Since Facebook changed names since we've recorded the show. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, as always. In the meantime, in between time, now I can do it.
Until next time, you can catch us ringside.
Even though we're just a less famous Conrad.
See ya.